listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Standing at my window on one cold and cloudy day, when I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken?
I got to apologize. Every time I hear that song, I just got to sing along. But we should have just let everyone listen to it.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, my goodness. There's one thing I really love about your whole scene and you and the Gaithers and all that kind of stuff. You just drag everybody kicking and screaming no matter what mood they're in. You know, you drag them
that's
along
right.
the journey.
That's what it's for.
Beautiful.
That's what we do.
Beautiful stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on the Drew Marshall Show, Joanne Cash. You know, I got to say, I said this off the top of my show. When I was thinking about interviewing you, I thought, oh, you know, the natural thing that's going to come out in the discussion is Johnny Cash and Johnny Cash and Johnny Cash and Johnny. But Joanne, I've listened to you and your two brothers, your two other brothers who sang, and I actually think you have the better voice out of all of the family.
Oh, my goodness. What a compliment. You've made my day.
Well, that's what I'm here for. That's why I'm here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the compliment, Drew. I told someone the other day, it's not what I do, it's what I am. And those songs that I have recorded over the years are from my heart.
Hmm.
Johnny said one time, he said, "What you sing is what you're saying." And I had never thought about it that way, but it's true.
Hmm.
And I enjoy it so much.
I want to share with you my take on you know, I guess the spirituality of stars, because there was something
okay.
there was something in me that for years, I don't know, I just didn't really plug into the fact that your brother Johnny Cash was a, you know, sort of a genuine Jesus guy. I kind of got the feeling he was, you know, just one of those Bible Belt, I was born here, therefore I am Christian. Christian, you know, stars, you know, because we heard about him in the media and getting into trouble here and this, that, and the other. And that was back in my days when I was a tad more judgmental than I am today. and it wasn't,
yeah, I understand.
It wasn't until about, oh, I don't know, maybe even 10 years ago where I finally realized, you know what, this guy is just like me. He is a messy Jesus guy. He is a guy that is struggling to follow Christ, but is still trying to follow Christ. Does that make any sense?
I understand what you're saying, but, you know, growing up with Johnny and seeing him from the beginning and through his horrible drug years, he always had that basic faith that brought him through every time. He should have been dead 100 times with the drugs. And I really do believe, Drew, that it was the prayers of my family and prayers of probably hundreds of people that were praying for Johnny through those years. But Johnny was as real as anything can be. He was a very strong, dedicated Christian.
Hmm.
Over the years, when he came out of the drugs, the last few years, especially when he got off the road, my husband and I would go over to his house about 10 minutes from where we live, and he always wanted to read the Bible and talk about heaven and talk about the Lord. And my husband's a minister. We pastor a church here.
Cowboy Church.
So he would pitch. Yeah, Nashville Cowboy Church. We'll get into that later. But Johnny loved Harry. He loved to hear him preach and talk about the Word of God. My husband has 3 earned doctorates in ministry, and that's just to identify him a little bit. But my husband is very real, and Johnny can pick out the real and the fake. He was a very brilliant man, and he always wanted to hear Harry talk about the Lord, and Johnny would say something like, "Well, I'm going to give you a scripture, and you explain it to me." And it was like a game that Johnny and Harry had. And Johnny was always pleased with Harry's answers because you know, he'd go to the Bible and the Word of God.
Well, let's talk, Joanne. I mean, the honest truth of this is, you know, everybody has a million questions about Johnny Cash, and unfortunately he's passed, and a sad day for a lot of people, obviously yourself. But, you know, you are continuing the Cash family legacy, and good for you for doing that. Unfortunately, you've got to live under that big, huge shadow of your brother. I mean, he casts a pretty stinking huge shadow, right?
Well, he does. I mean, that shadow is still over Tommy and me. But you know what? It's a good shadow. I knew Johnny. I knew the real J.R. Cash. I grew up with him. I knew his heart. And he said to me one time, not too long before he passed away, he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Baby, listen to me." He always called me baby. He said, "I want you to sing as long as you can and with all of your heart." What he was saying to me is, what you sing is what you're saying, and be careful what you sing.
Yeah.
Because people are listening and they're checking you out.
Well, of course, Joanne, I mean, you have a story of your own, and I mean, I don't know what it is with you Cash kids, but, you know, bad marriage, drugs and alcohol. I mean, you were a bit of a rebel yourself.
I was. I went through a bad marriage. I call it a bad marriage because neither one of us knew the Lord. And I was in that marriage for 11 years. And the only thing that I know now that was good is I have three beautiful children, two daughters and a son. And I was by myself for 5 years, and I came from Houston to Nashville where I was living. And that story's pretty long. I don't know if we have time for that or not. But I was living in Houston, Texas after my divorce. Very lonely, very messed up on drugs. I had been on a doctor's emergency room table two different times with accidental drug overdoses. And, you know, whether it's prescription or whether it's not, those, you know, drugs can kill you if you abuse them.
Yeah.
And I found myself literally at death's door. And as a matter of fact, the doctor said I wasn't going to make it, but I did. And I know now that God had a plan for my life. And I was, after that second time, I was in my home, lonely, fearful, and not knowing what I was going to do. And Johnny called me on the phone. He said, "Baby, just listen to me." He said, "I'm sending a moving van. Just get your kids in the car and come home to Nashville." That was 1969. And when I got to Nashville, I went out to my mom's house in Hendersonville, and we all had a kind of a family reunion, welcoming Joanne home. And Johnny was there, of course. He was trying to help me, and I said, "How can you help me? You're messed up, too."
Yeah.
And he kind of laughed about it, and he said, "Well, you pray for me." And I said, "I'll pray for you." Longer story short, I went to church in Nashville. There's a woman that kept asking me to go. Her name was Dottie Snow, and she was the wife at that time of Jimmy Snow, Hank Snow's son.
Oh, he was a pastor, wasn't he?
He was the pastor at Evangel Temple Church.
Yeah.
And Johnny had rented, I was working at the House of Cash for John when I come home from Houston. And Johnny rented a little six-seater airplane. And we flew from Nashville down to South Arkansas for a Cash family reunion. And we had our nice family reunion. And on the way back, this was October the 17th, 1970. Coming back in that airplane, one engine, six seats, we ran into a hailstorm. It was, we all thought we'd die. Even the pilot said, I don't think I can get us out of this.
Boy, you must have had the hail scared out of you.
Well, you know what? We did. We did. We really thought we were going to die. I remember looking up in the front. Johnny was sitting by the pilot, and his face was chalk white. And we thought we'd die. But God's mercy, I asked the Lord to let us live and that I'd give him my life. And all of a sudden, it was like a jolt. We went from the storm to the sunshine, and I knew somebody up there had heard me. And we landed the plane. The pilot landed the plane. The pilot was Helen Parter's husband, Glenn Jones. And we landed the plane. Everybody was totally silent. And we got out, and the pilot walked around the plane. It looked like it had been beaten with a hammer.
Wow.
And he just shook his head and walked away.
I bet you went to church the next day.
Well, I was there before the preacher got there. And I was sitting on the front porch, the front steps of the church before Jimmy Snow and his wife got there. And I didn't realize it, but they'd been praying for me for 6 months. And I gave my heart to the Lord that day. And when I went down front and gave my heart to the Lord at the end of the service, Jimmy Snow looked me in the face and he said, "Joanne, Jesus loves you." And there was a youth leader there that was in charge of 300 youth. And his name is Harry Yates. And I ended up marrying him. We began to work with the youth in that church for over a year. And then Johnny sent me to Israel and took the film, Gospel Road, that had just been finished. He said, "Would you like to go to Israel with your church tour and show this film to the people that were in it in Israel?" And I said, "Well, let me pray about it." Yes.
Yeah.
And so Harry Yates was on that plane with me, and we took it to Israel and had a big showing in Jerusalem of Gospel Road. And it was the most exciting trip I've ever taken. And Harry and I fell in love in Tel Aviv and came back and were married December the 27th, 1971. And we just, the December 27th of last month, we've been married 40 wonderful years.
Congratulations. Well done. That's isn't that a record for a Cash family member?
I think so. Johnny kept looking at us and he said, "Y'all don't have any problems, do you?" I said, "Nothing we can't handle with the Lord." But anyway, we have a wonderful relationship. Johnny was, I don't know what words to explain him. When he was good, he was really good. And when he was bad, he was really bad.
Yeah. What do you...
Someone said that just today, you know?
Let me ask you, Joanne, you know, what do you miss most? Like, if you could just have something back, you know, or if you could have Johnny back for one day, you know, your brother, what would you miss the most, or what have you been missing the most about Johnny?
His unconditional love for everybody. He was so forgiving of everybody, people that hurt him over the years. He was so forgiving. He said to me one time, he said, "The way you set yourself free is that you forgive. Then it's on that person and between them and God." And, you know, over the years, I have found that to be so very true. I miss Johnny's unconditional love. I still have his music because that's what he left us.
Right. You know, just before he died, you and he had a conversation about what you thought Jesus would say to you if you happened to run into Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. It was so dramatic. I went just before Johnny died that week. He called each one of us to his house. And he called me over there, and he was always joking around with me and laughing and cutting up. But when I went into he had a little side room off their bedroom. And he said, "Baby, come in here." And I went in there. I said, "What's up?" He said, "Sit down." And I knew this was serious. I didn't know what he was going to say to me. I said, "What?" He said, "I want to ask you a question." I said, "Okay." He said, "If you were walking on the shores of Galilee and you looked up, and you saw Jesus walking toward you, and you knew it was Jesus, and you knew he was going to say just one thing to you, what do you think he would say?" I'm telling you something, chills went all over me. I said, "Well, John, I would want him to say that I'm doing what he called me to do." And he looked at me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he pointed his finger at me, and he said, "Jesus would say to you, feed my sheep," because he knows we pastor a church. And after I quit crying a little bit, I said, okay, I'm going to turn it around. Same situation. If you were on the shores of Galilee, you saw Jesus coming toward you, and he knew you was going to say, you knew he was going to say one thing to you. What do you think he'd say? And he looked at me with his head down and those eyes looking up with tears in his eyes, and he said, that's easy. I know what he'd say to me. He'd say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's what he'd say to me. Hmm. And what John was doing that day was saying goodbye to me.
How did you hear of the news? Who told you that your brother had passed away?
I was with him.
Wow.
I was with him. Harry and I were at the hospital. Roseanne and Kathy, Cindy and Tara and John Carter were there. And it's still very emotional for me, Drew. I went in and the kids were around the bed. And I stood there and they saw me coming and I in the room, and I said, can I have a moment? And they said, yes. They went out. And I went over to John, and I picked up his hand. I said, it's okay to let go and go to Jesus. And he opened his eyes and looked at me. And that's the last words. And he shook his head, yes, like he knows what I said.
Yeah, yeah.
And those were the last words. I'm sorry. And I miss him so much. I miss him so much every day. His picture's on my refrigerator. His picture's all over my house. Hmm. I see his face every day, and I hear his voice every day. And for a long time, it grieved me. But now it's such a comfort. It's a comfort to hear his voice and to see his face. And he's just so a part of me.
Sure. Well, and he always will be, of course.
I told Tommy the other day, I said, we have cash blood running through our veins, and we're all a family. And I told Tommy, I said, that's why we miss him so much and the rest of our family, because we're blood relatives.
Yeah. Do you think, by the way, we're on the phone with Joanne Cash. Do you think Johnny will be allowed to wear black in heaven? Do you think he'll be? Is that allowed, or?
Well, let me tell you something, Drew. Right after Johnny died, the week he died, in the Nashville, Tennessean newspaper, there were a couple of cartoons which were very well done, very tasteful done.
Good.
And the one of them was a picture of Johnny inside the pearly gates and St. Peter calling out to the angels, would someone please bring Mr. Cash a white robe?
Oh, boy.
And the other one, the next day was Johnny was inside the pearly gates, and he had a music stand there and playing his guitar, and he was singing Ring of Fire. And St. Peter said, excuse me, Johnny, we don't sing that song up here.
Oh, man.
It was cute. You know, I think the whole world misses him.
Yeah, there's something. I mean, we talk a lot on this show about messy spirituality. There's a guy named Mike Iaconelli who wrote a book called Messy Spirituality. He's sort of one of my, I guess, spiritual heroes. I guess a main theme of this show is just to get people to understand that messy spirituality is the Christianity most of us live, but few of us admit. And I think,
I understand.
Yeah, and I think Johnny was, you know, one of those guys that wasn't afraid to admit it. You know, he wasn't trying to be all fake and shiny and happy and one minute, and then, you know, living in the darkness the next. I mean, that's what his life was, but he openly admitted it up and down. You know, he would, yes. A constant thing he would say is, you know, I'm the biggest sinner of them all, kind of a deal, right?
Yeah. Well, Johnny was never tried to hide the bad side of his life. His whole life was an open book. And he wasn't broadcasting all the bad things he did in his life, but he never tried to hide them.
No, yeah.
He said, I need forgiveness every day. And he said, I ask for forgiveness every night before I go to bed. And he said, I'm striving to be more like Christ. And he said, I fail miserably. But he said, I'm thankful that God has wonderful grace for all of us. He or my husband one told me one time that the name, the word grace, means God's riches at Christ's expense. And he said he paid it all for us, and that's why I can receive his grace and forgiveness. Johnny would come out with statements of wisdom that would just knock you down. He, you know, like I said a while ago, when he was good, he was really good, and when he was bad, he's really bad.
Yeah.
But he admitted it, and that's how we, you know, get forgiveness.
Can you, and forgive me for not knowing the ins and outs of all of the siblings here, but let's just go through the Cash kids here for a little bit, and fill me in on what's going on. Roy, that was the firstborn, correct?
Roy was what you call a big wheel with Chrysler Corporation. He invented the cruise control for Chrysler. And Roy was the one that had a mechanic shop on Union Avenue, and his two friends that were mechanics with him was Marshall Grant and Luther Perkins. And Johnny would come in the afternoon and borrow Roy's mechanics to play around on the guitar. Roy was a very gentle man, but he too was a real Cash. When he was good, he was really good. When he was bad, he admitted it.
He passed on
1994.
Okay. Margaret Louise?
Louise, yeah, we called her Louise. Louise was a very devout Bible teacher. She was very, very involved with her church. She never wanted to sing. That wasn't her deal. She was very good and very devoted to Christianity and the Bible. She had ladies' meetings, and she was a very sought-after Bible teacher.
Mm-hmm. And she's still with us or no?
No, she passed away the same year Johnny did, in 03.
All right.
In 03, we had to say goodbye to four family members in 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, it was J.R., or Johnny, Louise.
Louise in April, June in May, Johnny in September, and June's youngest daughter, Rosie, in October.
Right, right.
In 6 months, they were four.
Wow. And, of course, Jack had that horrible, horrible accident.
You know, it happened just like the movie showed.
Were you there, Joanne, when that accident happened?
I wasn't. We were living in Dias on the farm, and Jack and Johnny always did little odd jobs on Saturday to make a little extra money to help Mama with the groceries. And Jack had gone up into the schoolyard to saw some fence posts to make $3 that day. I didn't go with him, and Johnny went fishing because there wasn't enough work for Johnny to do. Just like the movie showed, that's how it happened. And, of course, it was a horrible accident, which took Jack's life 8 days later.
Yeah, the saw. I mean, pretty much cut him in half almost,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, my goodness.
It is.
The movie we're talking about, of course, is Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix. And you give that movie a pretty good thumbs up?
I thought Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon did an excellent job. I thought Joaquin should have won the Grammy on that.
Yeah, that,
the CMA Award.
That was quite a surprise that he didn't, to be honest.
I think everybody was surprised, and he was really disappointed with it. And when that movie was done and out, Joaquin took that movie back to Folsom Prison and showed it to the prisoners and had as much fun with it as Johnny did, I think.
That's good. That's good. All right, and then, of course, there's Johnny, and then your older sister, Reba?
My sister, Reba, was Johnny's business manager for over 30 years, and then she retired, and Reba's daughter, Kelly, took over Reba's job as office manager and the right-hand person for Johnny.
Right, right.
And she worked for Johnny for 16 years.
And again, forgive my ignorance here, but is Reba still with us, is she not?
No, she passed away in 06.
06. Boy, there's just so much going on in the last 10 years, my goodness. But I know Tommy's still singing.
Tommy's still alive and well and still traveling all over the country. He's been to Europe, and he's about to go in March to Sweden for a tour, I'm still recording and doing a whole bunch of things, and people can go to my website, joannecash.com and see a lot of information on me there.
You have released a lot of music. I was totally surprised with that.
Well, you know what? Someone said to me the other day, you've recorded all these CDs. I said, yeah, I guess that means I'm old. But you know what? I keep remembering what Johnny told me. Sing as long as you can and with all your heart, and I love it. My husband and I pastor a church, like you know, and every Sunday morning we're on worldwide video stream on NashvilleCowboyChurch.com on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock Central Time. You can click in and see us live.
Well, listen, there's a bit of a Canadian connection here with your brother as well. He proposed to June Carter, Cash, of course, live on stage during a concert up here in my neck of the woods in a town called London, Ontario.
London, Ontario. Where are you?
Well, I'm about 2 hours from London, Ontario, but it's close enough. I'm gonna say it's up in our neck of the woods. The people over there, they're a little strange, but we like them.
yes, the way the movie portrayed that is exactly how it happened. Johnny was singing a song with June and stopped right in the middle of the song. And as you saw in the movie, she kept saying, let's sing, let's sing, let's sing. And he said, I'm not singing till you answer me. And she had, you know, she finally said yes. And that, and like Paul Harvey says, everybody knows the rest of the story.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, last couple of things we'll bring up and then we'll let you go. By the way, thank you so much. I know it's tough to schedule interviews with the way your life is going, but quite gracious of you to join us. Thank you, Joanne.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
The Million Dollar Quartet. I didn't know about this, unfortunately. Boy, I'm just showing how ignorant I am of this stuff. But I was doing the research, and I came across that famous picture where you've got Jerry Lee Lewis, you got Carl Perkins, Elvis Presley, and Johnny Cash. And they all were in the studio, Sam Phillips' studio, and Sam decided to let the tape keep rolling. And these guys jammed like you wouldn't believe. And a large percentage of the songs they sang were gospel songs.
Yes. Johnny and Elvis and Carl Perkins.
Jerry Lee.
And, you know, Jerry Lee had a background in gospel music in his early career. And, of course, Johnny, that was his heart. He always wanted to be a gospel singer.
Yeah.
And, of course, Sam Phillips said that won't sell.
No.
But Johnny managed to get it in quite often in his career.
Well, of course, his epitaph on his tombstone says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And right beside his tombstone is June's, of course, and hers, quote, yes. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. What a dynamic couple. Of course, you know, only 4 months later after June died, that's when we all lost a hero to many, but you lost a brother. You know, 4 months after his true love died, it's quite a story.
Roseanne stood up at his homegoing service, and she said some beautiful words, but one of the things she said was the bottom line for all of it. She said, I can live in a world without Johnny Cash, but I sure do miss my daddy. And I can say the same thing. I can live in a world without Johnny Cash, but I sure do miss my brother. Because he would call me, we'd go, and I'd go over to his house, and he'd play some songs for us. And we had most all of our Christmases, Thanksgiving, and just big family get-togethers at Johnny's house. He could hold all of us. And I miss that. Oh, my goodness. And since his house burned down, it's really been... It's really been hard.
Well, Joanne, I don't normally say this sort of thing, but I'm going to say it now, and I genuinely mean it. Bless you. I know you already are blessed. We all are blessed, blah, blah, blah. I get that. But
thank you.
I just hope that 2012 is an incredible year for you. I really do.
I really do appreciate it, Drew. I would like for all the people that are listening, if you want some of my CDs and more information, you can go to my website, joannecash.com.
Yeah, that's how I was going to end it, was if you really miss and love the old-time gospel music, joannecash.com is a place to go, for sure, for sure.
That's right.
Joanne, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for your time.
All right, you take care.
All right, thanks, Drew.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, that was, of course, Joanne Cash, and we are going to go out with my favorite Johnny Cash song, his cover of the Nine Inch Nails song, Hurt. Have a listen. Pretty much describes his life, as well as mine, in many, many ways.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all.